Today's shiur is Masechta Pesachim Daf Nun Vav. We were given Daf Nun Hey Amud Beis at the bottom of the Amud at the Mishnah. As we have been discussing at the beginning of the Perek and in our previous shiur, the halachas about doing melacha on Erev Yom Kippur. So our Mishnah speaks about the people who lived in Yericho, which also what they did involved working in Erev Yom Kippur. So it says the Mishnah Shisha Dvarim. Also, Anshei Yericho, there were six things that the Anshei Yericho did. Ashloisha Micha B'yadam, on three things that they did, Chazal protested. Vashloisha Loi Micha B'yadam, and three things that they did, that which shouldn't have been done, but since they, as the Tiferes Yisrael explains, the issue, the Isser wasn't such a serious Isser, they did not protest, even though it should not have been done. The reason Yericho is called Yerichai because the Shemen Afarsamen, that was used in the Beis HaMikdash, which has a wonderful smell, came from the city of Yerichai. And as the Chaznish points out, it's quite obvious that the people of Yerichai were very great individuals. And that's why Chazal are so focused in our Mishnayos on what they did and didn't do. Says the Mishnah of Elohim, these are the acts that they did that Chazal did not protest. Makivim the kolam kolayoyim, that on the entire day of Erev Pesach they would graft the palm trees. That's as we said is why this mission is mentioned here. The korchin shema, they used to say the shema in a certain way, as we'll learn extensively in the Gemara Mitzvah. The koitzrim the goitzim lefnei ha'omer, we know that on the second day of Pesach and Tezai Nissen, the carbon minchas ha'omer was brought. And one may not eat from the chadosh until that carbon is brought. Not only may one not eat from the chadosh until that carbon is brought, but you're not allowed to even cut the new grain before the tziris ha'omer. As the pasuk says, v'aveisim es omer reishis k'tzirchem alakoyin. The first cut grain should be the grain that's going to be used for the carbon omer. However, that halacha only applies to grain that could be used for the carbon omer. As we're going to learn, the grain that comes from Yerichai cannot be used for the carbon omer. Yet Chazal made a gzeira that they should not cut or work with the grain till we'll speak about if cutting or just piling up the grain, what is and what isn't included should not be done under any circumstances until the grain of the omer is cut and brought. And they did, but Chazal did not say anything. However, says the Mishnah, then they did other things that Chazal actually protested. Matirim goyim zios shel hagdish. They allowed people to use the branches of the sycamore tree and the carob tree that grew from Hegdish. That these trees were designated as Hegdish, and they took and used for their own purposes the branches of these trees. They would eat fruit that fell from the palm tree, from the date tree on Shabbos and Yontif. The noisn pale yerek. And they would take payah even from vegetables. And the chachamim were upset about that. And as we're going to learn in Mitzvah Shem in the Gemara, so if they want to take payah from something that's not obligated in payah, what's the issue? The issue is because any field, any produce that's designated as payah, one doesn't take off Trumas and Maestras from, but if it's not Mechuyiv and Peya, and they take off, and they took Peya, so they assume there's no Chiv Trumas and Maestras, which is of course wrong, that they were Mechuyiv in Trumas and Maestras. Says the Gemara, we have a similar type of situation with Chizkiyo HaMelech. Says the Gemara, Tana Rabbanan, Shisha Dvarim, Asa Chizkiyo HaMelech. There were six things that Chizkiyo HaMelech did. Ashloisha Hoidaloi, On three, they said they accepted what he did. On three, they did not. However, I saw that the Tiferes Yisrael points out that here, the words used by Chizkiyah are different than what we learned in the Mishnah. In the Mishnah, we see that what Chazal were really upset by Anshei Yerichai, they were micho, they were protested. By Chizkiyah, they were unhappy with what he did, but because he was a melech, they weren't moicha. But then I saw that there are mefarshim that ask on that pshat, if the king does something that's wrong, so we have to protest. What's the difference if he's a king? So I saw that what the Anshei Yerichai did, they did on a regular basis. And since they did it on a regular basis, that's why Chazal felt the need to protest. The things that Chizkiyah did that they weren't satisfied with weren't done on a regular basis, and that's why they didn't protest. The first thing is, Girer Atzmais Aviv Amitah Shel Chavalim. His father Achaz was a Rasha, and when he passed away, instead of giving him an honorable Kvura, an honorable Vaya, they pulled him on a bed of ropes to embarrass him for the Chilah for his behavior. What about the fact that he was his father? So the Mefarshim explained that the Pasuk says that when is there a chiyuv of kibur of aim? But oisei masa amcha, when the father does what he's supposed to do. Here the father acted in such a way, there's no chiyuv. Others explain that the chiyuv is much lesser when the father is no longer alive. And here the father was no longer alive, and that's why they took that's why he felt that he was able to do it. Another pshat that I saw is that he did it so that his father should have kaparos avinus. So he had a very honorable intention here that his father should have kaparos avinus. That's why it was allowed to be done. So it's interesting. I saw an interesting question that Rav Yitzchak Zilberstein Shlita discusses in his Sefer Chashukei Chemed, where there was a person who, Baruch Hashem, a Talmud Chacham, a fine person, who is getting married. And it's very common, of course, that when one gets married, the parents' names are put into the invitation. Here, this person's father is not a Shomer Torah mitzvahs. And because of that, he wants to not put his name on the invitation. So he says, certainly, Even if the father doesn't act as he's supposed to, but the father sent him to yeshiva, paid for his chinuch, and if the father certainly is participating in the paying for the wedding, he's obligated to put his parents' name, his father's name, into an invitation. The Chakaras HaToiv is so critical. And he points out, Al Gemara seems to show us how Chizkiyah did not show respect to his father. So he says, we can't bring a raya from Al Gemara, like we said, because in Al Gemara, Chizkiyah's father was no longer alive. In a situation where this person's parents are still alive, he certainly has to show Hakaras HaToiv to them. He has to show Hakaras HaToiv to them and give them the respect that they deserve. I saw that the Imri Emes explains that Gir Atmas Aviv, he pulled out from himself the portion of his father. His father was a Rasha, as we just said. Chizkiyah's father, Achaz, was a Rasha. And he was able to extract from himself that rishis that Chizkiyah, that Achaz had put into his system. So, Haidaloi, the Chacham agreed with what he did. Kiseis, Nechash, Nechoshis. Moshe Rabbeinu had made a copper image of a snake, and he ground it up for Haidaloi. When Klal Yisrael were in the Midbar, and they complained that they don't have bread and water, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and they weren't satisfied with the man, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent snakes, Nechoshim Asrafim, should bite them, and many passed away. And when they did tshuva, Moshe Rabbeinu davened on their behalf, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him to make a nachash, make an image of a copper image of a snake, and anybody who looked at it would would be healed. So the Nachash, and as the Mishnah Masechet Rosh Hashanah, Daf Chav Tes Amud Aleph teaches us, it wasn't the Nachash that brought life or death. If Klai Yisrael recognized that everything comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Misrapim, they would have a refuah. But what happened was, this Nachashis remained amongst them. And because it remained amongst them, they began to believe, and every time that somebody was sick, instead of doing tshuva, they just looked at that copper image. And that was, of course, not what the purpose of this Nachash Nachashis was. As we saw, they were supposed to believe that it came from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. As the pasuk I saw, the Ben Yishchai says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu, Asay Lecha, it should only be for people like you who recognize that everything comes from Hashem. You, who the people who stopped recognizing and realizing that, Chizkiya saw no other option but to destroy it. And Gonas say for Refus, the Pash Pshat is that Shlomo HaMelech wrote a book with all sorts of remedies if somebody, Chas V'Shalom, got sick, and he put it away. They agreed that they did the whole thing. Again, the simple pshat is, because what happened was, when people got sick, instead of realizing that they got sick because HaKadosh Baruch Hu was sending them a message and they should do tshuva, they would just take out this book and look at it and get well instead of doing tshuva. That's the pshat Rashi, the very mask of Agonas, explains. The Rambam has a problem with that pshat. He says, if that's the way we're going to, if that should be our attitude, so then we shouldn't eat and drink at all. Always rely on Hashem. So he says, the Rambam says that apparently the Rambam's opinion is that this wasn't written by Shlomo HaMelech. What happened was that the refuahs in this sefer were like kishif, and therefore it was inappropriate for them to use such svara. Another pshat is that the Rambam says that although this sefer had refuahs, it also had poison, different poison remedies in it, and people were using it for nefarious purposes. The Chazon Ish has a different pshat. He says that when Klal Yisrael is on a very significant madrega, they shouldn't rely on doctors. They should rely only on Kadosh Baruch Hu. Of course, normally we are not on that madrega, and since we're not on that madrega, we have to go to a doctor. But Chizkiyo, in the time that he lived, and the people that he lived with were on such a madrega that they shouldn't have had to use a sefer refuah, and that's why Chizkiyo took it away. I saw another pshat that the sefer refuah was given to Noach's children. They were in the teva for all those years, and how were they to survive? They were given them the sefer refuah. And the Gemara says these three things that they did. V'hoydeloi, Chazal said to Chizkiyo he did the right thing. However, says the Gemara, Ashloish dvarim loy hoydeloi, there were three things that he did that they did not feel he did the right thing. Kitzes Dalsa Shal Hechel, he took the doors of the Beis HaMikdash, the Shigrin LaMelech Asher, and gave them to Melech Asher, and they did not feel he did the right thing. Melech Asher fined Chizkiya that he has to bring 300 Kikur Kesef and 30 Kikur Zov, and Chizkiya brought them from the Beis HaMikdash. And Chazal felt that this was a Bizui Hegdish to you, they felt that this was a busy Hegdish, to use Hegdish to pay off Melech Asher. Sosam Megichana Elyon, Sancheriv had attacked the city of Yerushalayim, and he closed up the Gichon from where there was a source of water, V'lai Haidaloi, and they didn't agree that he should have done it, because Hashem told Chizkiyo, V'ganoisi, Al ha'ir ha'zois l'ha'ishiyoi. HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised that he would protect the city. And if Hashem said that he's going to protect the city, then he should have relied on what Hashem told him. Ibn Nisan ben Nisan, and he made the year a leap year already when it was Rosh Chodesh Nisan, v'lo ha'idolai. As we know, the Jewish year goes by the lunar year, not a solar year. And the Pasuk says regarding Pesach, Shmar es Chodesh Ha'Aviv. And the Gemara Masechta Rosh Hashanah, Daf Chof Aleph Amun Aleph, teaches us that Nisan always should be in the spring sun season. And sometimes, because the lunar year and the solar year are off by 11 days, we have to make the year into a leap year by adding an Adar Sheni. The halacha is that the only month that we can make into an extra month is Adar, and also it only can be made before Chodesh Nisan came. Certainly, the Rishonim explain that once, if it was already Nisan, the pasuk says, "HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem Rosh Chodeshim, Chodesh Zeh Nisan, Vein Chodesh Ach Nisan." There could only be one Nisan. The mistake that he made is that, let's say it was the 30th day of Adar. So we know the 30th day of Adar could already be Rosh Chodesh Nisan, or could be still Adar. So the halacha is, since that day potentially could be Chodesh Nisan, the halacha is that you should not, that day it's too late to make an Adar Sheni. But it's not real, but technically it's still Adar. And that was Chizkiyahu's mistake. And therefore, because that was the extent of Chizkiyahu's mistake, it wasn't that he had Pesach on the right day. Because the Gemara also, Masechta Rosh Hashanah, Daf Chaf Hei Omen Alef, teaches us, Atem Afilu Shagigim, Atem Afilu Mezidim. Even if Bezdin deliberately does the wrong thing in declaring a month, we follow what they say. And even though Chizkiyahu did the wrong thing, it didn't affect what was the right day of Pesach. The reason Chizkiyahu all of a sudden felt the need to make this year into a leap year, because many of the people in his time were Tamei from the time of his father, who we discussed a few minutes ago, Father the Rasha. And Chizkiyahu was concerned that all these people would not have the opportunity to be matar themselves and bring the Karban Pesach in the proper time. And therefore, in order to delay the Pesach, that's why he made Pesach later. So we learned in our Mishnah, Makivin the Kolam Kolayim, that in Yerichai, they used to graft palm trees all day, Ere Pesach. Ask the Gemara, Hechi Ovid, what exactly did they do? Amar Yehuda, Maise Asadara, they used to bring a moist hadassim, the Shikra the Daphna, they brought beer from a tree that's called the Daphna tree, the Kimcha the Sarlery, and barley flour, the Rami Bemona the Lechafle Barim Yoim, barley flour that was put into a vessel that the flour wasn't yet 40 days old, or Masichelhu, and they would cook all these ingredients up together, the Shadul Leila Dikla Belibe, and they would put it into a crack of the palm tree, the Kol the Kai Arba Amis the day, anything that's within 4 Amis of this tree, Eloi Avdalei Hachi, if they didn't give that other tree the same treatment, Soila Alti automatically dries up. The Gemara gives a different explanation of what they did. There's two pshatim. One pshat is they took a branch of a male palm tree and they put it into the, and they grafted it into a female palm tree, and that's how the tree gives out peiros. That's Rashi's second pshat. The first pshat, Rashi says, that they took the branch off a tree that's less than a year old, and they put it into the crack of a tree that was, the branches were removed, and that's how the tree grew well. And again, the Anshei Rishonim held that on Erev Pesach, the reason, this the Meiri explains, we're not allowed to do melacha, going back to the beginning of our perek, is because on Erev Pesach they brought a Karban Pesach, and therefore it's a yontif. But in Yerichai, the Karban Pesach is not brought. So since in Yerichai the Karban Pesach is not brought, that's why they felt they could still do the melacha on Erev Pesach. The Chum held that we're not allowed to do melacha on Erev Pesach, not because limited to the Karban Pesach, because as we learned at the beginning of the perek as well, it's a very busy day. The Chazon Ish also points out that since this grafting that they did were from the two of the same type of tree, that's not called klayim. We learned further the Karchna Shema. Ask the Gemara, Heichi Avdi, exactly what does Karchna Shema mean? Amar Yehuda, Oimrim, they used to say, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Echad, V'loi Hayim Afsikin, and they didn't stop, make a stop between the Shema and the Vahafta. And as Rashi points out, Shema is a declaration. A person declares his Amunah and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Vahafta is what we is a command, what we're supposed to do, and therefore there should be a separation between these two types of declaration. Tosfos Devar HaMaskil Law has a different explanation. They did not stop between the word Shema Yisrael, between the words Shema Yisrael and Hashem. It sounded Shema Yisrael Hashem, that it's if they're davening to Hashem, that Shema Yisrael, that he should listen to our tefillahs. Of course, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should listen to our tefillahs, but that's not what this Pasuk means. And therefore, the proper way to say is Shema Yisrael, and then we say Hashem Elokeinu, and then we say Hashem Echad. Rav Amma says, Mafsikin, they did indeed make the proper separation between Shema and Vahafta. El Shai Oimrim, Hayoim Al Ravecha. When they said the Parsha, they used to say Hayoim Al Ravecha, the Mashma, which sounds like Hayoim Al Ravecha. Today, we have to do what HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, V'loi Moch Al Ravecha, not tomorrow. And the proper way of saying is, you also say Hayoim, and then stop, and then say Al Ravecha. And the same thing in the next parasha, Asher Anochem Tzavcha Hayoim, Lahavas Hashem, there too, says the Mashor, quoting the Torah, we're supposed to say, Asher Anochem Tzavcha Eschem Hayoim, Kama, Lahavas Hashem, that every day. The Pasuk says Hayoim, so the Sefri says, the reason the Pasuk stresses Hayoim is because the Torah and the mitzvahs should be so special to us every day, it's like something new, that we got that is fresh and new and exciting. Another pshat is that hayoyim, in this world we could learn Torah. In this world we could do mitzvahs, but in the next world it becomes impossible to obviously do all these things. Tan Rabbanan Keitzay Karchna Shema. And Bryce says, what was Karcha Shema? Oim Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Echad, V'loyim Mafsikin, and they didn't stop before he said, V'haf to Divra Meya. Yudayim Mafsikin, how they did stop, El Shaloy Oimrim, he introduces a new factor. They not say, Baruch Shem Kvoy Machusulay Levad. Ask the Gemara, so why do we say it? V'nama Tama Aminulay, why do we say Baruch Shem? Says the Gemara, Kedarsh Hashem Melakish, Tamar Hashem Melakish. The Pasuk says, V'yikra Yaakov is Bonov. Yaakov, in Parshas Vayichi, gathers together all of his children. V'yayma he'osu v'agid lachem, v'yikra eschem b'achus yomim. Says the Gemara, B'kish Yaakov l'galas keitz ha'yomim. Yaakov wanted to disclose when the Gula Shleimu will come. V'nestalka Shechina. And the Shechina left and he wasn't able to disclose it. Omar, so Yaakov Avinu declared, Shema Chas V'Shalom Yesh Mimitasi Psul. Maybe there's amongst my children somebody who's disqualified, and that's why the Ruach HaKadosh left us, because the Ruach HaKadosh left us. And he said, just like I have by my grandfather Avram, Shiyotzim Ben Yishmol, and just like my father Yotzim Ben Esav, maybe by me it is the same. Omar Leibonov, the children said to Yaakov Avinu, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Amruk Shem Shem Belipcha El Echad, just like you are pure Amunah HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kach Ein Belibena El Echad. We are full-fledged Maminim B'nei Maminim. Baruch Hashem Apostle Yaakov Avinu, Vomar Baruch Shem Kavod Machus Elo El Vod, to glorify that we have that Amunah. But now, says the Gemara, Amr Rabbanan, the Rabbanan had a dilemma. Heichi Navid, exactly what should we do? Namruah, should we say Baruch Shem after we say Shema Yisrael like Yaakov Avinu did? Lo Yamar Moshe Rabbeinu. How could we do something that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't do? And as the Mashal explains, not that every tefillah that we say is a tefillah that Moshe Rabbeinu said, but this is a tefillah that Moshe Rabbeinu brought down from Shemayim. So if this is a tefillah that Moshe Rabbeinu brought down from Shemayim, we should say it the way he said it. Lo Yamro. If we should we not say it? But Amr Yaakov, Yaakovinu said it. Heskinu, so that's why they made up Shiyom Raisa B'chashoy, it should be said quietly. And the reason, explains the Mashal, what's the difference between Yaakov Avinu and Moshe Rabbeinu? Yaakov Avinu, when he heard his children declaring their Emunah in Hashem, that's why he said, Baruch Shem. Moshe Rabbeinu was just writing in the Torah that was supposed to say Shema Yisrael, but he didn't hear a declaration from Klal Yisrael, so he didn't say Baruch Shem. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Amar Rabbi Ravami. How do we understand this halacha? Mashal Bas Melech Sharika Tzika Gedera. There was a daughter of the king who smelled delicious spices. Im Timer, if she should explicitly ask her servants to bring her this type of food, Yesh Lo Ganai, that she's asking for food. Loi Timer, but if she shouldn't say anything, Yesh Lo Tzar, she's anxious to eat that food. Hizchil Avadel Ove Bechshai, they brought it quietly to her, that she should get what she wanted. So the Chasam Sofer explains the Moshel that the same with Baruch Shem. It's a Gnai to say it, that it's if we have to declare that we believe in Hashem. Is there a question that we believe in Hashem? On the other hand, we have so much of a desire. We do, the Amunah is what's so special in our lives. So that's why we should say it, but say it quietly. They then established that should say it loud because they were concerned that the Apikarsim were saying, what are they saying quietly? But in a place where there are no Apikarsim, they continued saying it quietly, and that is our minig till today, say the Rishonim, that we say it quietly. So here we see that there is a point to say Baruch Shem, but we say it quietly. The Paiskim do discuss that there are a number of times that we say Baruch Shem, and we say Baruch Shem out loud. One is Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur we say Baruch Shem, and the Paiskim explain, because in Baruch Shem, on Yom Kippur we are like Malachim, and therefore we're allowed to say it out loud. The question is, when we say Ana B'Koyach, should we say it out loud, or should we say it quietly? The Shas HaTshuvas Mishnah Halachis, Chelek Yud Gimel, Simen Tes, quotes Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, that Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky said that you could say Baruch Shem Kvod Machusoy out loud, when you could say Baruch Shem Kvod Machusoy out loud, only when we say Shema is the minig that we don't say it out loud. So here the Gemara says that the Shechina wanted to go away when Yaakov Avinu wanted to tell Klai Yisrael where Mashiach is coming. Why? So the Yitzchak Moshe explains that the reason that HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't tell us when Mashiach is coming, then people would obviously be forced to do tshuva, because nobody wants to greet Mashiach with averus. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want such a tshuva. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants a tshuva that we should do it because we want to do it. And therefore, we can understand what happened by Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu, when he saw that his children didn't have a psul, that they don't have to do tshuva, wanted to tell them when Mashiach is coming. Another pshat is that we know that Mashiach, if with zoicha, could come at any moment, a chishana. If we're not zoicha, it'll come be'ita. It'll come at a point of time. If you say a point of time, they would lose their hope that Mashiach could come any moment. And if they would lose their hope and belief that Mashiach could come any moment, it would be very difficult for us to be able to stay, to survive. Only because we live with the Amunah that Mashiach could come at any moment, that's how we could continue with our Amunah and be able to survive this very bitter galus. Another pshat that I saw, that Yaakov Avinu, the Shem of Shmuel, explains. Yaakov Avinu was able to say Baruch Shem because he had the ability to bring Amunah into the heart of every Jew in Klal Yisrael, those 70 people that were the Jews at the time that Yaakov Avinu was Nifter. But here, where by Moshe Rabbeinu, there were so many Jews, not everybody was on the same madrega. And because not everybody was on the same madrega, Moshe Rabbeinu did not have the ability to bring that type of emunah into every Jew. But I also saw from the Chart Kvar Rebbe, from the Degel Mechna Ephraim, that our Gemara shows us the power of a minute, which is really the theme of this perek. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't say Baruch Shem. But as we see in our Gemara, there's much good reason why to say Baruch Shem. But yet, with all the good reason to say Baruch Shem, the Gemara says if Moshe Rabbeinu didn't say Baruch Shem, we shouldn't say it. We have to follow Minhagim. Says the Gemara, Tarna Baruch Shish Dvarim Osu Anshi Richai. There were six things that the Anshi Richai did. Shloish Shibritzayin Chachamim. There were three things that they did that Chazal were happy with. And three the Chazal were not satisfied with. This is what they did with Chazal was satisfied. Makivin the column kolayim that they would graft Erev Pesach the palm trees. Karchan Shema the kaitzrim lufnei oimer and they would cut the new grain before they brought the carbon oimer. Veilu shloib b'tzayin chachamim and these activities were shloib b'tzayin chachamim. Goitshim lufnei oimer they would make stacks of the new tefuah before they brought the carbon oimer, or parts and protzois begagusayim or begid or begperdusayim. They made breaches in their roofs and in the wall around their field. Lachal neshalaniim that poor people should come and eat what fell down from the tree. B'shneitz b'tzoris in hunger years, and they did this even on Shabbos and Yontif. Matirim gamzia shel hegdish shel chara v'shel shikma, branches that grew from the carob tree and from the sycamore tree of Hegdish, they fed them to Aniyim. They ate them for themselves, and that's what they were dissatisfied with. Amar Bihuda, if this what they did was satisfactory to the Chazal, ye kol adam oisim bai. Everybody should do it. Why did only the Anshi Yericha do it? Says the Gemara, rather, everything that all these activities that I mentioned were dissatisfactory. But however, on three of those things, Chazal protested, and the other three, they didn't protest. These are what Chazal did not protest. And what did they protest? Matirin Gamzi Yishal Hegdish, Shalcharev Vishal Shikma, Parts and Parats Beganeseyem, Ubertaseyem, Lach Lagneshalanim, Bishapsis Vyam Toivim, Bishne Betsiris, Noisnan Peil Yerek, Umichabian Chachamim. And now the Gemara will analyze the Brisa. The Rabbi Yehuda said that cutting the grain before the carbon oimer were things that Chazal were not satisfied with, just they didn't protest. Ask the Gemara, Vesav Rabbi Yehuda, does Rabbi Yehuda indeed hold that tzira, cutting the new grain before the carbon oimer was brought, shloi b'tzayin chachamhi, Chazal were dissatisfied? For Tanan, doesn't the Mishnah Masecht HaMenachos teach us, Anshi Yerichai, kaitzir lufnei oimer b'tzayin chachamim, they're cutting grain before the carbon oimer was satisfactory to the chachamim, just for goichim lefnei oimer shloi b'tzayin chachamim, making the stacks was dissatisfactory. But even though they shouldn't have made those stacks, there was no protest. Says the Gemara, man tana, man shamed loy, who is the tana that says michu v'loi michu, that this wording, that some things they protested, some things they didn't protest, it's Rabbi Yehuda. And yet it says, the Kartani, and says here that kaitzim b'chayin chachamim, the Chazal were completely satisfied that you could cut the grain. So were they satisfied, or was it just they didn't protest? Ask the Gemara, ulatameich. I'll ask you a different question. The Bryce, it says that there were three things that they did that there was no protest. But if we look at it, there's four things. Arbahava, Makivin, Karchim, Koitzrim, Vegoitshim. So how do we understand this? Ella, Sami Mekan Katsira. We have to take Katsira out of this entire discussion. And as we mentioned before, because the only time there's an Isser to do cutting of the grain before the carbon oimer is brought is only when we could use that grain for the carbon oimer. The grain of Yerichai was grain that cannot be used for the carbon oimer. It was dry very dry area. And therefore, there was no problem in doing katsira. Everybody agrees that cutting the grain before the omer was permitted, but piling up, stacking that grain, even though they're not going to use that grain for the carbon, but Chazal were concerned that if you're going to stack the grain, you may come to eat that grain. And everybody agrees, certainly, that you may not eat from the chadash before the carbon omer was actually brought. We learned in the Braisa, Matirim Gamzius Shal Hegdash Shal Chorav Shal Shikma, that they used the branches of the carob and sycamore tree that belonged to Hegdash. What was their reason for doing so? Says the Gemara Amru, they said, Avisenu Lehigdishu Elakiris. Our forefathers that were Magdish these trees were only Magdish the actual trunk of the tree. Honor, and therefore, honor not to Gamzios Shal Hegdish, we're allowed to use the branches, Shal Chorav Shal Shikma. And what was the Machloikis? Begdulan Ban Lachma Skinan. We're talking about branches that grew from the tree after they were actually Magdish the tree. The Savli, the people of Yericho felt, Commander Amar, Ein Mi'ilu Begdulan, that what grows on the tree is not subject to Mi'ila. Rabbanan Savri, and Rabbanan agree technically that they themselves are not considered part of the Hegdish, but Isura Me'ika, there's certainly, even if there's no actual Me'ila with all the dinim that Me'ila come with, Chaimish and a carbon, but it's certainly Isser to use it for your own purpose, and that's why they protested. The Rashbam explains that why aren't the Gedulim Hegdish? Because it's only a grummer. The Hegdish only participated in making that grow. And when it's only a grummer, it doesn't have a full-fledged din of Hegdish. The Ramban has a different approach. The Ramban says that even if we'll consider them Hegdish, nobody explicitly will magdish those branches to be Hegdish. And the only time, says the Ramban, that the rules of Me'ilah be-Hegdish apply is if somebody explicitly was magdishit. If they weren't hegdish explicit, the halacha wouldn't apply. We learned further in the Braisa what the Yericho did was that they, in a hunger year, they opened up the roofs and the field for people, for poor people to come take food on Shabbos or Yontif from what had fallen down from the trees. Amar Ula Amar Shimon ben Lakish Machloikus. That the Anshei Yericho felt that what they were doing was correct, and what the Chachamim felt what they were doing was wrong, was Shabbat Mechbedos, the part of the tree that fell down on Shabbos, and those fruits were still on the trap of the tree. The Rabbanan Savri, the Rabbanan held that since these fruits, these dates, were on the top of the tree, Gazrinon, we may not take those fruits on Shabbos and Yontif, for we are concerned, Shemiyala v'yitlash, somebody may climb up the tree and deliberately pull off from the tree fruit that's still connected to the tree. V'anshi Yericho Savri, and the people from Yericho were of the opinion, Loi Gazrinan, there is no gzeira of Shemiyala v'yitlash, and therefore they could take that fruit. Abba Shembe Kipipin, the fruit that's all the way on the bottom, that you don't need to climb up, Diri Hako Mutter, over there are no fruits that are still connected to the tree, so there's no reason to be concerned that we're going to pull off from the tree when we're taking fruit that are on that part of the tree, and that's why everybody agreed that you could take off that fruit. Amalei Rava, but Rava asks Ula, even if there's no concern of Shemiyala v'litlash, but there's a different concern that we should have to have. If these fruits were still on the tree at the beginning of Shabbos, they're muksa. And if they're muksa, then we can't eat them on Shabbos, as we've learned extensively in Masechta Shabbos. The definition of muksa is that anything that is not ready, not assumed to be used on Shabbos, remains non-usable for the entire Shabbos. And the defining moment, as we learned so many times when we learned Masechta Shabbos, is Migud is Katzoy Leben Hashmashus, And here, since these fruit were connected to the tree at the beginning of Shabbos, they should remain muksa for the duration of Shabbos. And even, I saw that the Pnei Yeshua discusses, but when we learned in Masechet Shabbos, Hilchos Muksa, we learned very often the Machloikas of Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. And we learned that Rabbi Shimon does not subscribe to Muksa, it's Rabbi Yehuda subscribes to Muksa. So why don't we just say that they follow the opinion of Rabbi Shimon? So the Pnei Yeshua says, and we mentioned this many times when we learned Masechet Shabbos, it's not that Rabbi Shimon doesn't at all agree to the concept of Muksa. He just has more of a limited definition of Muksa. But such a case, he would agree it's Muksa. Says the Gemara, v'chi teima, hoyal d'chazi larvin. The reason it's not muksa is because the fruit on the tree birds eat, and therefore they're not considered muksa. Ask the Gemara, how could you say such a teretz? Hash the muchen l'adam lavin muchen l'klovin. Something which is edible to a person and not to an animal becomes muksa for animals. The Tanan, the Mishnah in Masechta Shabbos, Daf Kuf Nun Vav Amateis teaches us. If you have an animal, and the best way of learning this, it's we're talking about yontif, where on yontif we could do a shechita. And if you had an animal that wasn't unavailable before Shabbos, a surah, it may not be given to an animal, to a dog, to an animal to eat, and then it became unavailable on Shabbos, and only animals can eat it. It can't be given to that animal on yontif. It wasn't prepared for animal consumption. And in order for it to be considered prepared, it had to be prepared for that purpose. So here, asked the Gemara, if it was edible and prepared for birds to eat from the dates on the tree, have a muchen la'adam, does it mean that people could eat it? How? So just because birds could eat it, that doesn't mean it shouldn't fall into the category of muksa. Answers Ula, Amalei. So Ula said, in muchen la'adam, if it was only designated like a healthy animal, which is designated for human consumption, then it's not considered designated for animal food. Nor is going to take a good piece of meat that is edible to humans and give it to an animal. However, the kol midah d'chazil inish, something that we could eat, we want to eat it and not give it to animals. However, something which is muchen l'arvim, something which is edible to birds, have a muchel adam, automatically also becomes designated for human consumption. The kol midah d'chazil inish, anything that we could potentially eat, that to levay, and therefore these dates are edible to birds. Once they become edible to birds, they are not muksa, and once they're not muksa in that level, they're not muksa at all. The Gemara gives another way of understanding the disagreement between the Rabbanan and the Anshei Yerichai. By the fruit on the bottom, where there's no concern of yellow v'yatlish, that's where they disagreed. And that was exactly the machloikus. Just because it was edible to birds doesn't make it not muksa for people. And therefore, even though it's all the way on the bottom of the tree, where there's no concern of yalav yitlash, there's still a muksa consideration. And therefore, there is no muksa consideration. But the fruit that's on the top of the tree, indeed, divayakal asur, no, even the Anshei Yericha would agree, you can't go to get that fruit. Yazrin and Shema, Yal Vietlash, we need to be concerned that you may climb up the tree and pick off fruit from a tree. Then the other place where we saw that they disagreed was by giving paya liyerek, giving paya to a vegetable, from a vegetable patch. Ask the Gemara, how could the Anshei Yericha consider giving paya from that? For Leslie Anshei Yericha, do not the Anshei Yericha agree with Hadar Tana, what we learned in the Mishnah Masechta Peya, Perek Aleph Mishnah Dalet, Klal Amru B'Peya, Chazal said a rule regarding Peya, Koshu Oichel, anything that's a food, and the Gemara is going to explain this Mishnah, V'nishmar V'gedulim in Aretz, V'lekutosa Ka'achatz Machnis L'kiyim, Chai B'Peya. And the Gemara explains every phrase. Koshu Oichel Prat L'Sfiches, this, Kutza, these are different growths that grow from the ground, that are not edible, and therefore are not chayiv and peya. V'nishma, something that's not hefker, prat lehefker, something which is hefker, somebody was mafker his field, there's no chayiv and peya. V'gdulim and arts, it gets nourishment from the ground. Pratl kamein pitriyos, mushrooms that nourish from the ear, not from the ground. V'l'kitasin ka'achas, pratl tainim, are to exclude dates, because not all the fruits on the tree are ripen and are collected at the same time. Or mechnisa l'kiyam, something that can last a long time, pratl yerek. So we see clearly that vegetables are excluded from peyah. So how could the Anshi Yericha think that you have to take peyah from yerek? Answers the Gemara, Amar Yehuda Merav, Hocha Barashi Liftus Eskinen. We're talking about the bulbs of a turnip, or mechnisa l'kiyam l'idei da'av acher. We could put the and they stay a long time. The question is the leaves. The leaves don't stay a long time. And the question is, what will be the status of the leaves? Masav, the Anshi Yericha held, Machnisa Lakim Aidei Davach Shmei Kiyim. Since you put them together with the actual vegetable, which is stays a long time, so they too are chayiv in peya. Masavar, and the Chacham held that only what's kept for a long time is chayiv in peya. Anything else, Lashmekim, is not considered kit for a long time, and they're put from peya and are chayiv in Meisr.